Now we continue with the big conversations here on Miraya Breakfast Show. I'm Lucy Kidan.
And my name is Moyo Jacob Felix. And moving you on now to our next conversation here. And just like we stated earlier, today is the International Day for Disarmament and Non-Proliferation Awareness. And this is to promote better awareness and understanding of disarmament issues among the public, especially for young people.
And so this is observed on 5th March annually as the International Day plays a role in deepening the public's understanding about how disarmament efforts contribute to enhancing peace, security, preventing and ending armed conflicts, and also curbing human suffering caused by presence of armed weapons in their communities. And so in South Sudan, while the use of arms, explosive weapons and guns in populated areas are seriously endangering civilians, the accumulation of these weapons and the illicit trade in those arms and light weapons jeopardizes peace and security as well, and sustainable development.
Well, the disarmament, demobilization and reintegration program in South Sudan is tasked to help help former fighters and their communities transition to peace. And so to speak more on the topic and share more insights, Wilson Lual is joining us this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Good morning, Wilson, and welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Thank you very much, Lucy Kudem and Miraya FM team.
Yes, thank you very much. Wilson, you're an expert in disarmament and this whole process. First of all, could you please tell us what is the primary role for DDR as part of creating awareness on your work? What is the primary role of this DDR?
Thank you very much, Lucy Kident. I think one of the most suffering institutions in terms of understanding what it means is DDR in South Sudan. Most of the stakeholders in South Sudan takes DDR to be the UN program, one of the international bodies that has nothing to do with them. But the DDR program or DDR commission is one of the key role for the government of South Sudan. It is one of the most areas that the government and the top one that the government entered into when it comes to social contract with the community. The first thing that the government promises when it comes for election is security. And this is what DDR does most prominently. So DDR stands for disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration. And it deals with taking away the arms in the hands of unauthorized individuals. So it deals with disarming the physical weapon from the person and the mental enslavement of individuals that are aligned to armament. So this is what DDR means. For a particular commission that is created for South Sudan, which is named the Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration Commission, it has been given a specific mandate to undertake by different agreements. The first agreement that created the DDR Commission was the 2005 agreement, the CPA that was signed in Nairobi. It has given the DDR Commission a mandate to disarm about 90,000 men and women from the ranks and files of the SPLA. And the other agreement, which is the RRCS, has also given the same mandate to the DDR Commission to disarm, demobilize, and reintegrate individuals that will be screened out as a result of the security sector reform process that will take place in South Sudan. So this is a specific definition of the DDR in general. But coming to the issue of today, which is the celebration of disarmament and proliferation of the small arms and light weapons, the definition of the disarmament can be even more larger than what I have just mentioned. because in South Sudan we are talking about small arms and light weapons. But the definition of disarmament is more larger than that. It includes even nuclear weapons and many more. So for us, we are trying to enlighten our people on the use, the negative use of weapons and light weapons in South Sudan and how it could be more detrimental in the lives and development of South Sudan in general.
All right.
Yes. Tell us now, in your task, how much has SOFA been achieved in terms of executing your mandate?
To be honest with you and to the people of South Sudan in general, not much has been achieved in terms of programming and in terms of implementation of the mandate of DDR in South Sudan. And this is quite historical. It's not just particular to this particular implementation of this agreement. It roots back to 1972 agreement when the process of screening was done. Most of the screen out forces have not been run smoothly through the DDR process. And all of us are aware that is what led to what we call the Anyanya 2 and escalated even more further to the SPLA. This is because it was not given a space. Sudan government have given a budget that could take care of the individuals that were screened out from the forces that could not fit into the National Army, and immediately decided to withdraw that budget within 1 year. And that led to, the strikes of the ex-combatants in the major towns, in Wau, in Juba, and even in Malacca, and made those individuals to join the individuals that were holding out from the agreement. And that is what they created the Nyanya too. Again, in 2005, when the agreement stipulated that the forces of the SPLA will be downsized by 90,000 men and women, that one did not also happen. That agreement, provision was not implemented as it was stipulated due to some reasons. And so it is not particular. This one is not a standalone issue. The current issue that the DDR program has not been implemented as expected is not a standalone issue. It's a historical one. And those historical failures of the DDR program in Sudan and South Sudan are justified. The only one that has not been justified is this particular failure of the implementation of DDR that is stipulated in the 2018 agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one for 2000 for the 1972 agreement was justified because the individuals that were holding out from the disarmament has a reason. They were saying that the answer of the demands for the southern Sudanese was not answered by the agreement of 1972. So they were still fighting on to liberate the country. The same also for the 2005 DDR was not implemented because we were defending the outcome of the referendum. Because
All right.
If we were to disarm, the Sudan would not honor the outcome of the referendum.
Mm-hmm.
But for this particular disarmament, our resistance to this particular disarmament is not justified. But the particular reason I would mention is lack of funding to the DDR program. The DDR program is not being funded, and that has now led to lack of implementation of most of the milestones of the DDR program and in the DDR mandate.
All right. Can you specifically lay out the tasks for DDR in the R-axis? Like, what is that is pending and just awaiting funding? What is supposed to be done? And if those things had been done, what achievements could you have actually fulfilled?
The DDR program is supposed to take care of those that will be screened out from the forces that are going to be unified. I just want to remind you that the forces from the IO, the forces from SOA, together with the forces of the SVS, SSPDF, were supposed to be screened and unified as a national army. And the byproduct of this screening is supposed to go through a DDR process. So that one has not been done. The screening has been done partially. And out of the screening, the DDR Commission is able to register about 24,000 ex-combatants during the screening. And this 24,000 is supposed to be transferred or transitioned into their respective homes using the DDR processes of screening them, profiling them, and giving them advice on what career to choose next, training them on that career, giving them the package after training them, and sending them to their respective homes to follow them up. But this has not happened. They are currently still at the cantonment sites, and most of them are also at the training centers because there are no resources to fast-track their integration, as I mentioned.
When you talk about screening, what are the reasons or what is the criteria for screening? Who is actually screened out of and not supposed to join the army and brought out to be reintegrated to the public?
Okay, there are a number of agreed upon factors that are considered in the screening. The factors includes the voluntary factor. One would say, you know, after being in the army for a long time, I want to go home. That is voluntary. Whether you're fit or not, and you decided to go home, it's yours. Mm. There are those that would be screened out due to physical illness. They are physically ill, they cannot, you know, make it to the unified forces. And there are those that will have a willingness to be part of the army. But when they are medically checked inside there are some sicknesses, underlying sicknesses, that will not allow them to be part of the army. So they will be told to come out from the forces. And there are also the limitations, the ceiling. Because you remember there is a body within the RCS that is called SDSR board. That body sets the limit of the defense and security manpower.
What is SDSR?
SDSR board is Defense and Security Strategic Review Board. It's the body that is mandated to now set the limit, assess the security threats externally and internally, and determine how much manpower do we need in the security and defense sector. So if the ceiling for the manpower is set, and you are above the ceiling, even if you are fit or not fit, you will definitely come out of the unified forces. This together makes the number of what we call the ex-combatants, because they are former fighters, and now they are no longer fighters because they will not be part of the defense and the security sector of the country. Mm. These are the criteria that we consider in screening the forces.
Okay.
These are the factors. And these factors are agreed upon. This is not only the DDR Commission that determines the factors. There are a whole lot of mechanisms that comes together to agree upon these factors. Mm-hmm. SDSR board among them, Joint Defense Board, GMCC, and many more.
Yes, Wilson. GCC. Wilson, we just ended the discussion on this with the audience, and a lot of them actually raised concerns about the presence of these arms in the hands of the civil people, the civilians. I mean, what are you going to do in order to end the illegal sale and exchange of the weaponry and their parts?
A whole lot of plans are already in place. They are already in place, awaiting the funding and the implementation. And as all of you are aware that the forces are going to be unified, the plan is that after the unification of forces, the security and defense sector is going to take the security from the civilians. You know very well that these civilians are not holding guns for nothing. They are holding guns to protect their lives and properties. So you cannot come and ask them to give you guns without a return for all this. So the defense and security sector that is unified is going to take over the security from them, and they are going to hand over their guns voluntarily. There is voluntarily civilian disarmament strategy in place. is a document that has been prepared and awaiting the awaiting the funding and go ahead from the national government.
Yes, there were also concerns from the members of the public that the National Army, some members of the National Army are actually those selling these arms to the civilians. Could you, react to this?
Yeah, I think this is very clear. When there's a breakdown in rules and laws, such things can happen. But as I mentioned clearly to you, that the whole lot of strategies have been already put in place, including the laws that are governing the arms in the hands of authorized people. Those that will only hold the arms are those that are authorized by the Constitution.
Mm.
Yes, not anybody that will be holding the arms. And any arm that somebody will be holding will be marked clearly in his unit. He will bear the number of his unit and the number of that particular individual. So if that individual sells the arms, it will clearly be known that it is X who sold his gun. But currently, such provisions are not there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they are there, they are not implemented. They are awaiting a whole lot of the processes that I mentioned before, that there will be unification, and that unification, the army is going to take the security from the individuals that are holding on the guns, and then the disarmament process will definitely start. And how it will start is not going to be forceful, as all of you are aware, mm-hmm. because we have seen now forceful disarmament is counterproductive and is very disastrous to our country, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of lives are going to be lost on that process. So for us in the DDR Commission, the strategy we have does not involve the forceful as a primary one. The forceful disarmament it will be the last resort after having exhausted the means of voluntary disarmament. Because we have a very serious campaign on that. When it starts, all the MPs, the national leaders here will go down to their homes, and they are going to inform their citizens that the disarmament day is going to come. Because it is going to happen like a census. It's not going to be an isolated disarmament, like a sporadic mm-hmm. disarmament that are going on here. Tomorrow, there, mm-hmm. and tomorrow, the other. It's going to be one day that is going to be declared all parts of the country, so that each one is going to be assured that he's not going to be disarmed against the other.
How soon is that going to be?
That in that strategy that we have, when the civilian disarmament phase is started, all the leaders will go down to campaign their people.
So when do we hope for this to happen?
This definitely is contingent upon the unification of the forces.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All right. You earlier on talked about mental disarmament, that mental slavery on the fact that being armed is the best form of security. What message can you give to the public in regards to that as we conclude discussion?
Currently, as we speak, I'm happy that I am speaking on Mraya in this particular day, the day for expanding the knowledge on the negative of having arms in the hands of unauthorized people. You know, I cannot send this, my message is not enough to send to this to the public and becomes enough. It has to be a very series of campaigns that will take place by individuals, the opinion leaders of those citizens.
Yes.
It is individuals that are prominent that will come and tell them that the use of guns is negative to you. But what I can tell them now, as today, as per now, is that all of you now are the witness to the detrimental to the negative impact of the use of arms in our societies.
All right.
We've just seen yesterday what happened in Nasser. This is just a negative part of having arms in the hands of unauthorized people,
mm-hmm.
individuals getting up and beginning to attack the National Army. This is quite tremendous. An individual is affecting all of us. You just take yourself back and a little bit listen to what I am saying. Having these arms in the hands of unauthorized people is making us not to farm.
Mm-hmm.
because I am protecting myself and I am protecting my cows. I am always vigilant. What am I doing? I am doing nothing. My mind is just fixed. I'm securing myself. And that is not enough. Look at the investors. Investors that are supposed to tap into this virgin land of South Sudan are not coming with their lot of money to invest in this country to give us employment. The factories and many other things that are supposed to come to this country are not coming because their guns are being hauled by individuals that are not accountable to the public. And a whole list can come in, including your personal organized ability as an individual. You cannot travel freely to a place you want. You cannot time yourself to do your own things because you are afraid you can be attacked at any time. If you go to your farm, you can be attacked at any time because of the guns. Why don't we think otherwise? Look at this otherwise. If we don't have guns in our hands, we are going to have all the people with money, I mean the investors, going to come into these countries, into this country with their money. They will invest, they will put that money in our GDP.
Okay, all right.
GDP. And all of us individually are going to
benefit.
Mm-hmm. So I want to tell us that having the guns in the hands of unauthorized people is negative and we have to drop it. Let the guns be owned by those individuals that are authorized by the Constitution to protect our lives and properties.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wilson, for joining us on the Mirai Breakfast Show.